This morning, let me go back. I guess it's about a year or so ago, we had our brother Phil Cappuccio here was sharing a message. And brother here, John Campo, and his wife Rachel were here. I don't know if any of the others were here also. And we got to meet them for the first time. And we just introduced, hi, how you doing? Nice, the same old stuff you do when you meet somebody new. And that was it. But for some reason, our brother just kept coming to mind over the course of this past year. And I'm one, like I told him this morning, I'm one that shies away from using phrases like the Lord told me, the Lord said, the Lord kept reminding. I have a cousin of mine, many of you know, John Cava, precious brother in the Lord, tremendous ministry. And he says he got so tired of people saying that one time that now when people say that to him, that the Lord told me, he says, wait a minute, hold on. When did he tell you? Where were you? How did he speak to you? What did he say? What were you doing at the time? Because we just sometimes drop that phrase so easily. So I can't necessarily say that. It could have been. But anyway, kept coming to mind. So just recently, I reached out to John. By the way, you're a hard guy to find. I'm looking online. I had to go through your accounting email or something like that, But anyway, I finally hooked on. I said, hey, listen, if you're not committed or anything, how would you like to come down and share a message? Like I told them this morning, we've been here since the year of the flood. And sometimes it's nice to get a new wave sometimes come in. Amen? So he says, yeah, sure, I'm available. So I'm going to ask him to come on up. I'm going to turn the service over to him. And whatever the Lord has placed on his heart, I want you to share. I want you to be comfortable. I want you to share whatever God's given you. And I pray that each and every one of us has ears to hear and hearts to receive whatever it is that God is going to speak through him to each and every one of us. So come on up, John. God bless you.
Hallelujah. How we doing, family? Doing good? It's good to be here. Thank you, pastors, for having me. It's an honor, a privilege. I don't take it lightly whenever I come before the people of God. And this is my water right here? Oh, beautiful. So my name is John Campo. A little background about myself. Born and raised here on Long Island, Half Hollow Hills. Went to college in Manhattan, got my degree in finance and accounting from NYU. Since then, I've worked in public accounting, I've worked in corporate finance, and very soon I'm actually transitioning into wealth management and financial planning. I'll be working in the city. Very, very excited about that. Just been praying to God for a change, for a transition. Just trusting him for the right doors to open, and he's opened the door. And I'm walking through, but I took that first step, right? Sometimes we got to take that first step. And then every step after that gets a little bit easier and easier. But I took that first step and knocked on some doors, and God's been faithful through it all. I'm very excited for this next chapter in my career. In my ministry, let's see. I oversaw with my wife the youth group at our local church. It was in Bayshore, called New Hope International Ministries. I got ordained as a pastor in November of 2019. Yes, so that was a couple months before COVID happened and the world shut down, so it was good timing, right? Good timing to become a pastor. But I trust God in all that he's doing, right? All that he does in our lives, the timing of everything. I put it in his hands. He is directing my steps. Let's see. Right now, in a transition in ministry, I'll just say that. Just waiting on the Lord for the next steps in our ministry. But God has really just put in my heart in this season just to use the gift that he's given me, exercise the gift that he's given me. And when he opens a door, accept it. And when this door opened, it was like God had spoken to me like a couple days before. He said just to take what is given to you. As I opened doors, just step into it. Don't overthink it. And he invited me like a day later. And I'm like, I'm going to take it. I'm going to go. I'm going to exercise the gift. I know that he's given me a gift to declare the word of God, to preach the word of God. I know that's my calling. And I stepped through the door, and I'm here this morning to share the word of God with you all. So last week, I just celebrated 8 years of marriage to my beautiful wife, Rachel. 8 years. So it feels like we got married yesterday, but it also feels like we've been married 80 years. So I don't know. Those that are married, I guess you could attest and agree. It feels like yesterday, but we've been through so much. It feels like a lifetime already. It's crazy. But God has kept us through the mountains and the valleys. It's been difficult in seasons. It's been beautiful in seasons. But through it all, he makes us more like him, right? In everything we go through. What's my purpose, Lord? What's your purpose for my life? That I might look like Jesus. That I might resemble him. That I might represent him here on this earth. That I might be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And through my career, through my ministry, through the ups and downs, through my marriage, through the good times and the bad, he is conforming me into his image and his likeness. Can you say amen this morning? Before I begin, let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, not just for what you've done for us, but who you are to us. Our healer, our savior, our deliverer, our strong tower, our refuge in times of need. And Father, I pray that every ear would be opened this morning. I pray that every heart would be fertile ground for the sowing of your word. Father, I pray that every person in this room would leave here differently than they came in, Lord. Transform us from the inside out. And Father, we are careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise. Holy Spirit, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, have your way. Father, that you would make up the difference. Where John falls short this morning, Holy Spirit, you know what everyone's going through. Translate even what I say perfectly into the ears and hearts of everyone specifically. Because you love us all, but you love each one of us specifically. In Jesus' name, speak to your people, Father. Speak to your people. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be in the living room, right, hanging out with the family of God. Just sharing the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. So these last few years, right, have been unprecedented times. The COVID pandemic, right? The global shutdown, mask mandates, social distancing, loss of loved ones, major transitions for many different people, uncharted territory, new grounds for businesses, for families, for churches. And it feels like there's been an increase in anxieties and fears and confusion, not only amongst the world, but even amongst God's people. And I want to highlight this morning how in any season that we go through, there are always two concrete truths. The first truth is that the enemy has a plan, right, to use that season to thwart, to stifle, and to silence God's people. Truth number two is that God has a plan to use that season to refine, to mature, and to prepare God's people for what he has next for them. And there is this constant warring in the spirit, right, of light versus darkness. This warring in the spirit of good versus evil. And as the church, we are in the middle of this war, which seems more heightened now than ever before. And we as God's people are in the valley of decision. Are we going to go the way of the world, or are we going to stand for righteousness? Are we going to go according to the culture and the standards and the political correctness, or are we going to stand for righteousness, stand for truth? And it seems like the attacks have just been greater in this past season, right? Attacks on marriage, attacks on our children, attacks on the unborn, attacks on Christianity, attacks on God, attacks on the church. And there's two questions I want to ask you all this morning. Will we allow the enemy to stop us? Or will we rise up as the church in this hour to shine as lights in the midst of darkness? Will we allow the enemy to silence us? Will we allow the enemy to stop us, to thwart us? Or will we stand as the true lights in the midst of darkness wherever we go? Will we shine as beacons for the kingdom of God? We are in a valley of decision. So this past week, I was in a local coffee shop. I've been reading this book. I've been just, you know, I was pondering about what I should share this morning. And while reading this book, the author began to talk about a new thing, a new season that he was bringing the church into. He began to share about a new wind, a new wave of God's presence, how God desires to use God's people in different arenas, with different methods, on different platforms than we may have seen in the past. New strategies, new vision, new blueprints to gather a harvest like never before. And as I was reading the words on this page that the author began to lay out and speak about what he was feeling, my spirit suddenly leaped within me. I began to have confirmation and agreement to what this author was saying. And back to how I opened my message a couple of minutes ago, I began to think about these last few years and what has occurred through the pandemic and the global shutdown. And the first thing I thought of was how I had to wear this crazy thing everywhere I went and how I couldn't stand wearing this thing. And I hated how I had to wear this thing wherever I went. And, you know, I understand that there was some scientific things that they would try to say how this would work. I'm not here to talk about this or the politicalness of all this nonsense, but, you know, these things don't even really do anything. Unless you got, like, the professional, what are they called? N90-something. But I began to think about how we had to wear this mask everywhere we went. And we all looked kind of crazy, right? It all seems like a dream. But God often speaks to me through natural things. And as I began to ponder the wearing of these masks, three things came to my mind. And you'll see it as I'm visibly wearing this mask right now. Three things. When we wear a mask, it distorts our identity, right? Unless you really knew me, you wouldn't really know this is me if you saw me in public. It kind of distorts our identity. When we wear a mask, it shortens our breath. Can't really breathe in this thing. Getting a little lightheaded up here. But it shortens our breath. And number three, when we wear a mask, it sort of silences our voice, right? Amen, 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 amen. right? You remember going to like the grocery store and the 16-year-old kid behind the register is wearing a mask. He's mumbling, looking down. He's not even looking at you in the eyes. You don't know what he's saying. Like, I can't hear you. Can you speak a little? Can you enunciate, please? I can't even read your lips anymore. But right, the mask tends to silence our voice, right? And though this mask was a natural mask in that season, God had revealed something to me through this mask. That in this past season, the enemy has tried to mask the church, to distort our identity, to shorten our breath, and to silence our voice. I'm going to say that again, that in this past season, the enemy has put a mask on the church to try to distort our identity, to shorten our breath, and to silence our voice. But today the Lord says, now it is time. Now it is the season where I'm going to unmask my people with a new sound, with a new voice, with a fresh breath of my presence to remind them of their identity, of who they are in me, for what I have called them to do. Somebody say, the unmasked church. It's time the people of God rediscover who they are in Christ. It's time for the people of God to be revived with the breath of God. It's time for the people of God to stand against the enemy and lift up their voices with the voice of truth, with the sound of praise, and with the cry of intercession. Are you hearing me this morning? It's not time for the church to sit back and say, I don't know, Lord, I'm a little bit afraid of the enemy. No, it's time for the church with the power of the Spirit of God within them to lift up their voice, to stand for truth and not back down to the enemy, because we are more than conquerors in him. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me this morning, people of God, army of God, children of God? You see, the mask has distorted our identity. This past season, many of us may have felt lost, especially with the shutdown and isolation, and you can get in your mind, right, overthink some things. It's like, Lord, who am I? Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I don't understand what we're going through. I don't understand all these emotions and things I'm feeling. Lord, how could this be you? Lord, what is your plan in all this? It doesn't make sense. Lord, who am I? And our identity became distorted. Distorted, I'm sure, as individuals, but also as a church. Lord, who are we as a church? Lord, church buildings have closed down. Who are we as a church? Identity in Christ. I want to highlight three quick things about our identity and your identity. Number one, our identity as children of God. God wants to restore your identity in this season. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, in which we cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy God, I am your son. We are your children. You are our father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Lord, who am I? I'm a son. I'm a child. I'm an heir. Everything that he has is mine. Everything that he has is ours. We are loved, we are forgiven, we are accepted, and we all have been chosen for a specific purpose. We all have unique gifts and abilities. We all are part of the family of God. We are sons. We are daughters of the Most High. Can you say amen? Number two, we are a royal priesthood. In spite of what you've been through, in spite of this past season, I'm here to remind you of your identity as a royal priesthood. We are kings and priests. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who have called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You who were once not a people are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy." We are a people that consists of kings and priests, right? The authority of kings to rule and to reign, to take territory for the kingdom of God. And priests who have access, unhindered access by the blood of Jesus. The veil has been torn. We have unhindered fellowship with Father God and can ask of him, can bring our supplications to him. We are kings and priests of the Most High God. And my third point for our identity, right? The church buildings were shut down, but God can never shut down the ecclesia, the called out ones. He can try to shut down a building, but he can't shut down a people. He cannot shut down the ecclesia, the ones who are called out by God. Matthew 16, verse 18, "And also I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, which is Christ, I will build my ecclesia, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys, I will give you authority from the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and I will build my ecclesia." What is this word, ecclesia? The ecclesia is not a building, but rather a people. We are the church. We are the people of God. We are the ecclesia. The ecclesia is not a static institution. It's a mobile body of believers. Whether we're in this beautiful building, or we're in the coffee shop, or we're on our jobs, or we're at the university, or we're walking on the street, we are the church. We are the ecclesia. We carry the presence and authority of God wherever we go. We all have a purpose. We all have a part to play. The ecclesia is not just called to just attract converts. We are called to make disciples. The ecclesia is not a powerless Sunday audience. It's a victorious everyday army. The ecclesia is not a powerless Sunday audience. It's an everyday victorious army. Are you hearing me this morning? In a book I was reading, the author says this: Jesus' intention for his ecclesia was to operate as the very vehicle that would inject the leaven of the kingdom of God into the dough of society, so that first people, communities, cities, and eventually nations would be saved and discipled. Any bakers in the house? I'm not a baker, but when you're making bread, right, the leaven has to go through every ounce and aspect of that bread for the bread to rise, for the dough to rise. And it's, I love the analogy of the leaven, because it doesn't show the church as something that is physically separate from the world, though we are holy and sanctified by the way that we live. But Jesus says we are in the world, but not of it. We are called to infiltrate the world, yet be different by how we live and talk and behave. We are not called to be physically separate from. We are called to infiltrate the world as the leaven infiltrates the bread and have impact in society wherever we go. The Sunday morning is the boot camp. It's the equipping. It's the training. It's the empowering so that there is a powerful force that the gates of hell cannot stand against from Monday through Saturday. There is this powerful force called the ecclesia that is making a difference. It's not about who reigns in the White House. It's about the fact that Jesus reigns on the eternal throne. That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And we are his agents, his representatives, to bring that kingdom that already exists in heaven, to bring it down to earth and start to establish it through righteousness, through peace, through love, and through joy. We are those agents. You all have purpose to make a difference here. And now, are you hearing me this morning? God wants to restore our identity. And the beautiful thing about God's restoration is most times he doesn't just bring you back to what was. Most of the times in his restoration, there's also a transformation and an elevation to something higher and greater. You see, everything that God has brought us through has not just been in these last few years to then bring us back to what was in 2019 and let's just continue what was. No, there's this sort of restoration through transformation and then elevation to bring us to a greater place and a new thing that God wants to do in this new season, because there is something new that is coming. And if we would have ears to hear his voice so that we could be a part of that new thing. I preached a message 2 or 3 years ago. It was called Outside These Walls. And this is beautiful. I love the church. I love the church services, the coming together. But he desires that we would be witnesses of him, right? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all the other parts of the world. It's outside these walls. That's where the lost are. And going back to what you were saying, many times God brings us through the valley because that's where most people live. So that we could experience what it's like in the valley of despair, the valley of depression, the valley of anxiety, because that's where most people live. And God shows us and brings us through so that we can then be there and have an answer for these people that are struggling. The answer is Jesus. Let me tell you about this God that I serve, who's healed me, who's taken me from the pits, who's set me upon a rock, who's been my healer, who's healed me of sickness and disease, who's healed me of depression. He brings us and allows us to go through those things so that we could have ministry outside these walls to a lost and dying world. Can I get an amen this morning? We have purpose. God has a plan for us, each and every one of us. And God, it's not that God cannot use you because of your shortcomings. It's that God uses you because of your shortcomings. It's not that your failures disqualify you. No, your failures qualify you. I stand up here as a guy that's made so many mistakes years ago, yesterday, probably this morning, evil thoughts, wicked things, but Lord, make me more like you. Holy Spirit, fill me up to overflowing. I want to be more like you. I want to be more like you. I'm not perfect, but Jesus, you are. Fill me. Fill me with your breath. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with who you are, that I might make a difference in my generation and many generations. Fill me with your spirit.
The second point, right? The mask distorts our identity, but the mask has also shortened our breath. What is the breath? What is the ruach of God, right? That's the Hebrew word, or the neshama of God. The breath of God signifies God's divine influence over his people. Right in John chapter 20, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I now send you." And when he had said this, he breathed. He breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them. Some of us just need a fresh breath of God, a fresh breathing of the Holy Spirit. You've felt dry. You felt dead in this past season. You felt a little bit lifeless and hopeless. Maybe you've been trying to do things on your own strength and according to your own understanding. But I want to remind you this morning that you are nothing. We are nothing without the presence of God, without the Spirit of God breathing fresh upon us. We are nothing. We can do nothing apart from the Spirit of God. And many of us have just felt dry. We felt a little breathless, shortened of breath. And a scripture that had come to mind was when Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower. And there's two verses that really just stuck out to me in Matthew 4, verse 18 and 19. And it relates back to the breath. Now these are the ones sown, Matthew 4:18, among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things begin to enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Choke the word. The cares of this world, riches, and our desire for other things begin to choke the word. Choke the word. Now, choke the word, when you look back into the root meanings, actually means to suffocate the logos, to suffocate us from God, to suppress the breath of God. Choke the word. We as a people have unfortunately allowed the things of this world, the external influences, the media, the news, the magazines, the newspapers, the movies, we have allowed external influences to begin to choke the word, to suffocate us as God's people, to suppress the breath of God. The enemy has tried to choke the church, to quench my presence, but I have come to breathe a fresh breath of my spirit into my people. A breath that gives life, a breath that restores, a breath that revives, refreshes, and renews. Come on, church, we need a fresh breath of God. We need a fresh wind of his presence. We need a fresh wave of his spirit to overtake us once again like a river. Too many churches have put aside the presence of God to go after their man-made agendas and rituals and whatever it might be. But I declare, I prophesy this morning about a wave of his presence, about a wind of his spirit to those that will make room for his presence. He desires to fill us with that spirit. You see, he doesn't need a million people. He needs a remnant of people that will crave after his presence as the deer pants for the living water. Lord, we crave after your presence. We crave after your spirit. We are nothing without you. Pour it out and revive us. Revive us, O God. Revive us, O God. We are nothing without your presence, God. Help us to put aside the things of our mind and our agendas and what we think might work and the strategies of man. Let us put it aside and invite you into the house of the Lord once again. You see, Jesus stands at the door of many churches, and he's wondering if they're going to invite him in. Jesus stands at the door of our hearts, and he wonders, are you going to make room for me? Many of us are walking our walk, and he's standing right there, and he's just asking us, will you make room for me? Your plans, your goals, you know, they look pretty good, I guess, according to man's knowledge, but can you just make room for me? Let me take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel once again. Make room for his presence. Make room for his word. Make room for him in your house, in your heart, in your mind. Make room for his spirit to lead and guide so that we might hear that voice. This is the way. Lord, which way? I don't understand. This is the way. This is the way. Invite me in. This is the way. Hear my voice. This is the way. Ezekiel chapter 37. I want to prophesy to the breath this morning. I want to prophesy to the Spirit of God this morning. Prophesy to the dry bones this morning. If you'll let me read Ezekiel 37, verse 1 through 14. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. I will cover you with skin and put breath within you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I, Ezekiel, prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, there was a sound, suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath within them. They had the shell. They had they looked like a person. They had the body, the shape, the form without breath. They had the shape and the form without breath. A picture of godliness. An idea of godliness. They looked like they played the part, but there was no breath, there was no power, there was no spirit. And the Lord said unto me, prophesy to the breath. Son of man, prophesy and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon these slain that they might live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Does that sound familiar? Oh, Lord, our bones are dry. Lord, our hope is lost. Lord, we feel cut off. As a people, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves. I will cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. Verse 14, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. The Ruach of God, the neshama of God, the spirit, the breath of God. He wants to fill us afresh this morning with his breath. He wants to revive us afresh this morning. I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know the pain, the hurt, the turmoil. But I do know that when we call upon him and ask for a fresh baptism of his presence, he will surely answer. Some of us just need a fresh baptism of the Spirit of God in our lives for him to breathe upon us once again, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit once again, to walk out of here changed, transformed, and ready to slay some devils. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My last point. You see, the mask distorts our identity, right? The mask tried to take away our breath. And lastly, the mask has tried to silence God's people. Now more than ever, we as the church need to declare truth. Good is evil. Evil has become good. People are scrambling, searching, and confused. Nothing in this world seems to make sense, but there's one thing that will always remain, and it's the word of the Lord. It's not a time to sit back and be silent. It's time to lift up our voices. And I'll pose the same question that I asked earlier. Will we, the church, allow the enemy to stifle us? Will we, the church, allow culture and political correctness to silence us? Or will we rise up as the ecclesia in this hour to be a voice of righteousness and truth to thwart and annihilate the plans of the enemy, taking the sword of the Spirit out, which is the word of God, and slaying some enemies, slaying some giants, slaying some devils? We need to be reminded that we have a powerful, sharp, two-edged sword that can slay any enemy in front of us. The word of God can slay any enemy in front of you. No matter what you're going through, begin to declare Jesus. Begin to declare the word of God over your situation. Begin to declare who you are in Christ over your situation. Begin to remind the enemy of his place, which is under your feet. Begin to see God move as you declare the word of God. Begin to see victory come as you declare the word of God. There's too many cute and nice messages coming across the pulpit nowadays. It's become almost like a glorified self-help. No, it's not about self-help. It's about God help. It's about self-worthlessness, who I am. I am nothing, but it's God that helps me. It's God that sustains me. There's no self-help good enough. There's no therapist good enough that can help me. Though we use those to help us, we do use those as tools, but it's all about God help. It's all about his presence, his spirit within us. It's God help. It's getting back to the truths of his word, getting back to the foundations of who we are, what he's given us, the keys that we have. We are not powerless. We are not defeated. We are victorious. We have weapons. We have weapons. Sorry, I get a little excited, a little passionate. I'm sorry. I'm almost done. But Psalm 107 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Let the redeemed of the Lord say it so. Say it out loud to be so. You see, it's not just enough to think it. It's not even enough to believe it, because the Bible says we have to declare it with our mouths. The Bible says that we must lift up our voices. We must make a joyful noise. We must declare the word of God audibly. We can't just think it. We can't just believe it. But the redeemed of the Lord must say so. Wherever we go, we must say so. We must speak it. We must prophesy. We must declare it. Because as we declare it, as we speak the word, it is faithful not to return unto us void, but will accomplish that for which it was sent. As the church, we have to start sending seed, spitting seed, sowing seed, declaring seed, so that it might bring forth fruit according to God's will and intention. Can you say amen? It's not time to be silent. There's a new sound from heaven coming forth from the bride of Christ. A new sound from heaven coming forth from the ecclesia. There's a new sound from heaven. It's the voice of truth. It's the cry of intercession. And it's the sound of worship. Three sounds. The voice of truth. The voice of truth. It's the cry of intercession, and it's the sound of worship. The voice of truth. I love when God spoke to Jeremiah, and he said in chapter 1, "Before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you as a prophet to the nations." But he said, "Lord, I cannot speak." Many of us have been there. Many of us have been silenced. But God says this morning, do not say you're a youth. Do not say you're unable. Do not say you can't speak. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces. Do not be afraid of the politics. Do not be afraid of cultural standards. Do not be afraid of their faces. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will tell you what to speak. The voice of truth. He will tell us what to speak. I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and to build and to plant. As we declare the word of God, evil things are going to be rooted out. Evil things are going to be destroyed. In the spirit realm, evil things are going to be overthrown. And he's going to give us place, give us platform, give us influence to rebuild and plant what he wants to be built and planted. The word of truth, the voice of truth, the cry of intercession. If my people, right? Who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, right? And turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. The cry of intercession, to stand in the gap for God's people, to stand in the gap for this nation and the nations across the world, to lift up a cry of prayer. His ear is attuned to our prayer. He's faithful to hear our cry, to hear our prayer, to answer our prayers. The cry of intercession. It's wild because Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. But many times it's the one thing it's not. I'm so blessed to hear you guys do prayer nights and just to come before God, because so many churches, they've thrown out prayer. So many Christians, we've just thrown out prayer. We've thrown out interceding for our loved ones, for our families, for our communities. It becomes the last thing that we think to do. But we have to get back to praying and interceding, praying against the forces of darkness, standing and praying for righteousness, praying for our children, our grandchildren, our loved ones. And many times our prayer is not just bringing this list to God. There's something that God does within prayer where we can shut up and just listen to him. And not just bring a list, but it's where he begins to download into us his list. He begins to download into us his heart. He begins to download into us what he would have us to do. And it begins to make us one with him in perfect union and fellowship where we begin to hear his words. We begin to see as he sees. We begin to feel as he feels in that quiet time of prayer and intercession. And lastly, the sound of worship, brother. You said it during worship. King Jehoshaphat and the armies of Israel, they sent worshipers ahead of the army, right? They sent worship ahead of the army. And it says that as the Israelites began to worship, the enemy began to go in a mad scramble and began to fight against one another. And the Lord wrought a major victory for the people of Israel that day. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But many of us in this season, we've lost our worship. We've been so confused. We've been so downtrodden. We've been out of breath. We've forgotten who we are. And many times we can come to God with the list or complain and, Lord, what are you doing? I don't understand. Just worship. How great is our God? How great is our God? How great is our God? Lord, you are majestic. You are amazing. You are awesome. I thank you, Lord. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you, Lord. How great is my God? How great is my God? No matter what I've been through, even when it doesn't make sense, Lord, I will never not worship you. I will always sing out and worship you. I will always glorify your name. Even when I don't get it, even when there's enemies all around, Lord, I know that you are faithful. How great is my God? How great is my God? I give you praise this morning. You are great. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's begin to give him praise this morning. Let's begin to give him our worship this morning. Let's begin to lift up a sound this morning. Father, you are great. Father, you are great. Father, you are great. The sound of worship, the sound of praise. We glorify you, God. We magnify you, God. We lift up our voices this morning. We will no longer be a silent church. We will no longer be a confused church. We will no longer be a spiritless, breathless church, Lord. Fill us with your presence this morning. Fill us with your spirit this morning. How great is our God? How great is our God? You are faithful, God. You are worthy, God. You are awesome, God. You are amazing, God. You are all in all. You are everything, oh God. Lift up your voices this morning. Lift up your praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Come on, let's sing it. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Come on, let's sing it. How great. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all see how great is our God. Come on, let's sing it again. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and oh, see how great is our God, 'cause you're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. You're the name above all names. He's worthy. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you desire, if I may, if you desire a touch of God this morning, I want to invite you up to this altar. If you desire a fresh touch of the presence of God, if you've been confused about who you are and what you're meant to do for the Lord, if the enemy has taken away your voice and silenced you in this season, I want to invite you up to this altar this morning for a fresh touch from heaven, for a fresh touch of God, for a fresh touch of God. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. The Lord meets us when we take that step of faith. Take a step of faith this morning. His presence is in this room. His spirit is in this room. Hallelujah. He desires to meet his sons and daughters. He desires for you to encounter him in a fresh way this morning. He desires to revive. He desires to awaken. He desires to renew. He desires to bring clarity where there is confusion. In the mighty name of Jesus. Worship, brother, as I pray for these people. Hallelujah. Pastors, if you want to join me in prayer.
So the rest of you are all content where you are. You don't want a new touch of God. You don't want more of him in your life. Come on, you've heard a good word this morning. You've heard a call to a greater depth in God. If you want to be his breath, if you want to be his hands and feet, you want to be his mouthpiece, come on up. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Come on up.
Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Is there anyone else that needs prayer before I pass it over to Pastor? The Lord is so good. Isn't he so good? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He is good. He is faithful. He is awesome. There is none like him. Woo! Praise God. Thank you, Pastor.
Hallelujah. I would challenge you this morning. Please, don't leave this place and just say, hey, that was a nice young man. Nice word. Hey, yeah, I kind of like him. He's okay. No. Receive what he said into your heart. Receive this as a challenge, each and every one of you. I want to have more breath. I want to look more like God. I don't want to be masked. I want to be his hands and feet more than ever before. You know, we have probably every generation represented here, okay? Don't ever think you're too old. I've already done all I can do. There's nothing really left for me. Or don't even think I'm too young. I can't go there. No, no, no. I don't have enough experience. No, I've never done that before. Well, you know, we've never done anything until we've done it. Amen? I remember the first time I was called upon to pray. I had two thoughts in my mind. Either I'm going to faint, and second of all, I'm going to kill the guy who asked me to pray, who happened to be my nephew. Just caught me off guard. I was working sound room at the time, checking wires and checking microphone things, and they were doing choir practice, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, as I'm walking down the aisle here to check a microphone, he says, hey, Uncle Eugene, would you lead us in prayer? I said, I'm going to kill him. I had never done that before. But you know what? When you just lean upon God and let him do it, you know, you don't have to. Oh, Heavenly Father, oh, King of the universe, who one who created everything that wasn't there before and now is out of nothing that ever existed. You know, he knows who he is. You don't have to remind him of it. Just ask him what you need to ask him. Talk to him just the way you would with each other. Please receive what you heard this morning. Amen. And apply it to your heart and let it change you. Let it change you. And you don't even have to go out. Don't go out looking for opportunities. You know what? Because you'll stumble over your own feet. Let God bring the opportunities to you. You know when there's an open door. And when that door is open, walk through it. Amen? Amen. Let's just close in prayer. And then the cafe is open. Please join us and have a cup of coffee, a bagel, just shoot the breeze for a while. Father, we thank you. We thank you for how you work in the midst of your people. Thank you for my brother, who you put this word on his heart to bring forth to us so we could hear it and we could apply it to our hearts. Thank you for this time we've had together. I pray that, Lord, you were pleased with everything that was said and done, Lord, and that you will, every time we are willing and we will take the step of faith to use us in a way like we've never been used before. And now we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, join us inside.